KBOO board member. Join the World Arts Foundation and KBOO Radio as we pay homage to the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It's the 35th anniversary of Keep Alive the Dream, Monday, January the 20th from 11 to 6:30 p.m. at the Highland Christian Center. This year, we will be joined by international opera star Angela Brown and straight from America's Got Talent, Danielle Damon. That's Monday, January the 20th from 11 to 6:30 p.m. at the Highland Christian Center at 7600 Northeast Gleason. Or listen live on KBOO Radio or view it on Open Signal Community Television.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Not So Supernova on Saturday, January 18th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the All Saints Episcopal Church in Portland. Not So Supernova is a full-length one-woman play exploring the edges of motherhood and marriage with humor and depth. Again, that's Not So Supernova on Saturday, January 18th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the All Saints Episcopal Church, 4033 Southeast Woodstock Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland. It's time for Pacific Underground.
Good morning. You're listening to Pacific Underground on KBOO Community Radio. Our show is on hiatus until May, and so we are doing a rerun. Until then, we are looking for new members to join the collective. Pacific Underground is the only show by and for Asians and Pacific Islanders in the Pacific Northwest. There is no experience necessary to join, just an enthusiasm for API content and stories through the medium of community radio. If you are Asian or Pacific Islander and are interested in joining, please contact us at pacificunderground@kboo.org or message us on Instagram at @PACUnderground.
Welcome to another episode of Pacific Underground. I am Tabitha Teo, and I am joined by...
Jake Vermas.
Sarah Onitska.
Matt Lynn.
Sweet! And today, we're just gonna shoot the breeze and talk about pop culture. Because I think it's important to acknowledge that pop culture, though it might seem like some fluffy, frivolous thing, but it's nice to just chill out and relax sometimes. Also, representation's really important, and it's important to talk about acknowledging the fact that there are actually non-white people that enjoy movies, music,
and
yeah, things.
Take up space.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, and talking about and acknowledging that there, when there's really cool representation, like normalizes the fact that, hey, not everyone in America's white.
We out here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess our assignment was to bring like a fun piece of Asian pop culture media that we wanted to talk about today. So who wants to start?
I think we're voluntelling you to start. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, not everyone talks.
Since you gave the homework,
yeah. It's only fair that you go first. That's what we're saying.
Yeah, this is true. I'll go first. As many people may know, about a month ago, the movie Alita: Battle Angel or Battle Angel Alita. I really cannot remember the name of the. The whole thing.
I think you had it right the second time.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Came out in theaters. It is based off of an early 90s manga and OVA. OVA, for those that don't know, stands for Original Video Animation. Those are basically direct-to-video animated movies. And animation in Japan is just shortened to anime. I don't know why I'm explaining what anime is, because I feel like nowadays it's pretty mainstream, But back in the day, like in the mid-90s, it was still a very small and obscure group of people that knew and loved anime. But I don't think I really need to explain what anime is now.
Yeah, so Alita.
Mm-hmm. And I had intended to go see the live-action movie, and I did see the OVA from the 90s, but life threw a big wrench in my plans, so I did not see the movie, but I did still see the OVA. I'd never seen it before. I was always tangentially aware of Battle Angel Alita, but I'd never read the manga. I hadn't seen the OVA until recently, and there are two episodes, or two half-hour episodes, and in researching, because Wikipedia knows all things, I guess the OVA is adapting the first three volumes of the manga, and I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cyberpunk science fiction story, and it also reminded me of why I love cyberpunk. And I learned some really interesting things in general about the cyberpunk genre that I didn't know before. Also, I found out that one of my favorite artists was apparently in a cyberpunk movie, along with Christopher Walken. Now I need to see that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. What was that? I've never heard of that.
My favorite artist, contemporary artist, his name is Yoshitaka Mano. He is a Japanese artist. And the movie, the name of the movie is New Rose Hotel. It came out in 1998. I'd never heard of this movie before, but now I need to see it because, yeah, my favorite contemporary artist is in it. So.
And Christopher Walken.
And Christopher Walken. The amazing Christopher Walken.
Can anyone do a good Christopher Walken impression?
I've tried. I think I would do better.
I'm not going to try.
I'm going to spare myself the embarrassment.
Yeah,
I was just throwing it out there just in case.
But I thought I would share a few interesting tidbits that I learned about Battle Angel Alita. But the history of Battle Angel Alita is actually kind of interesting. Once again, these are all things that I sort of learned tangentially from my anime friends that were really into it. And I looked into this after I saw the OVA. But the Battle Angel Alita is actually the American translation. Mm. Or maybe I should say the American name, because the original Japanese name for the manga was, I don't know if I'm going to say this right, Gunnm. It's spelled G-U-N-N-M. And the author is Yukito Kishiro. Once again, sorry if I mispronounce the name. But it literally means gun dream. That was the intention of the author. It was originally serialized between 1990 to 1995.
Okay.
And then when ADV Films, which was this American localizer that brought a bunch of anime from to America and did like subtitles, dubbing, and things, they're unfortunately no longer around. But when ADV Films licensed and brought over the OVA, they changed the name to Battle Angel Alita. And Alita's name was also changed from the Japanese to the American, because her original Japanese name was Gally, and when ADV Films brought over the OVA, they changed her name to Alita. I kind of couldn't find out why, or I didn't have time to research why ADV Films made these changes to the original name and to the original source material, or to the name of the main character. But I don't know, maybe they thought Battle Angel would be more marketable in America or something. Since anime was still a pretty niche thing in the early 90s. From what I've heard about the live-action movie, I mean, it's still called Alita Battle Angel. Wait, was that the one that I was right about?
No, Battle Angel Alita.
Okay. Battle Angel Alita. I think I'm just calling it Alita Battle Angel because when the movie was getting released, I was in Chile, and I saw a bunch of posters and posters and things, billboards advertising it, and they called it Alita Battle Angel in Santiago. Mm. So that might just be what I'm thinking of. Mm. The live action movie is called Battle Angel Alita, and the main character's name is still Alita. When the movie was first being released, I was like, oh God, is this gonna be another like Ghost in the Shell thing? Like, oh,
Scarlett Johansson, white person playing an Asian role type of thing.
Yeah, and that was another like thing that I've been meaning to sort of project. I've been meaning to watch the original Ghost in the Shell and then watch the live action remake and like, am I gonna hate this? But I don't feel like subjecting myself to that much torture yet.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself.
Yeah. But you know, I am the thing that does sort of make me a little bit interested about the live action movie is sort of the Asian activist response to Alita, because I feel like there hasn't been quite as much of whitewashing Hollywood anger as in response to the Ghost in the Shell movie. I mean, I think, though, maybe the situations are a little bit different because I was looking up the actress that they cast for Alita. Her name is Rosa Salazar. I mean, I think she looks like Alita or Gally, but I was a little curious about her ethnicity because, oh, Rosa Salazar, that sounds like vaguely POC-ish. But, you know, don't want to make any assumptions. But I found out she's from Canada. And Sarah, you actually were also looking this up.
Yeah,
and
I remember that.
Yeah, and you found out her family's actually from Peru?
I believe she was Peruvian.
Okay.
Let me look it up real quickly, though. I don't want to be wrong.
Yeah. Apologies to Rosa Salazar.
Let's see. Yeah, Peruvian descent.
Okay. I was also looking up the rest of the cast. I mean, there's Christoph Waltz, Jennifer Connelly, Jackie Earle Haley's in the movie. Once again, apologies if I mispronounce this, but Mahershala Ali's also in the movie.
Oh, cool.
He plays actually the villain of the movie, but he's, I guess you call him like kind of a mini boss villain.
mini boss.
Yeah. We're talking about pop culture. when I saw that,
I think it's Mahershala.
Mahershala Ali was in the movie, and then I was like, oh, that's cool. Because in the OVA, there is a black antagonist, or at least he's brown skinned. It's not exactly clear in the anime.
He might be part alien.
Well, there aren't really aliens in this story, but there are a lot of cyborgs. Maybe he's a cyborg. I don't know.
Okay. That is interesting. Who they decide to make the
exactly?
Villain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the same as in the manga, where this particular character is also brown skin. I'm going to assume it is, but yeah, it's very interesting who the Japanese creator made as the main villain for at least the first couple volumes of the manga.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, when the name change happened, when it became more westernized, mm-hmm. did the character also change to be? So was the character originally, you know, Japanese or Asian, and then did that change once it was brought over to the U.S.?
Well, so another of the changes. So the story goes that there is this cybernetic doctor. In the original manga, the doctor that finds Alita or Gally, his name is Daisuke Ito. And I notice in the live action adaptation, Christoph Waltz's name is Dyson Ito.
It's like,
Dyson.
Oh.
Like the vacuum?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the vacuum. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I
could have gone with
that's what
Dennis.
I was thinking.
No, let's go with Dyson. That totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Like the vacuum.
Yeah.
Oops.
So, it's like, that's a little... But also in the anime, he's shown with blonde hair. There are actually a lot of blonde-haired characters in the anime. And I also heard, once again, from my Battle Angel friends that the story in the manga takes place somewhere in the American Midwest. Mm-hmm. So... Mm. Yeah, maybe there's a little bit more justification of why there are more white people. But you also meet a character named Yugo. I mean, being a Japanese anime, a lot of the characters have... Or, sorry, being a Japanese manga, a lot of the characters do have Japanese names. Like, I don't know how I should feel about maybe changing Daisuke to Dyson.
Yeah.
If it takes place in America, I don't know.
I suppose, I think it's a little bit more nuanced than Ghost in the Shell was.
Mm. Yes.
Especially since the main character is not going to be played by a white person either. To me, that doesn't feel as bad.
As problematic, yeah.
As a white person playing the role. And I mean, because in Ghost of the Shell, right?
It was quite intentional.
And mm-hmm. they changed the name from, what was it?
Major Kusanagi, and they just called her the Major.
Just yeah.
Major, so it was so quite it was, intentional it was, to erase mm-hmm. that.
It was supposed to be like a Japanese character, and they just kind of decided mm-hmm. to completely do away with that.
Yeah,
so
weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can see how the focus hasn't been, you know, quite as heavy
quite on
mm-hmm. Battle Angel.
Good morning. You are listening to Pacific Underground on KBOO Community Radio. Our show is on hiatus until May, and until then, we are looking for new members to join the collective. Pacific Underground is the only show by and for Asians and Pacific Islanders in the Pacific Northwest. There is no experience necessary to join, just an enthusiasm for API content and stories through the medium of community radio. If you are Asian or Pacific Islander and are interested in joining, please contact us at pacificunderground@kboo.org or message us on Instagram at @PACUnderground.
Alita, as it was for Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah.
And it is kind of another discussion also of, casting the right ethnicity or the right type of POC mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah.
A whole nother discussion, right? But
yeah. Well,
I mean, we won't even talk about Last Airbender.
Oh my god. That's another movie.
Dev Patel, the only brown dude, is the bad guy.
And he's the villain. Yeah. Bad. Oh gosh.
The
yeah.
worst. I could not get myself to watch that.
That's another movie that I'm a huge fan of the Last Airbender series. And that's also a movie that I have this morbid curiosity
Aren't they remaking it or making a new version of it? I think so.
The live-action movie?
Yeah.
Oh,
and I think,
please be good if that's true.
I think I heard about it a couple of months ago, and there was the intention from the very beginning, you know...
Of casting Asian actors?
Exactly.
Wipe the slate clean.
Yeah.
Do we all need to go to Hollywood for our audition calls?
Showing on Netflix.
Yeah,
that's
there we go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I need to start preparing my headshots and a screen test now.
I think they're probably But we could, schedule a viewing party or something like that. Somebody's house. That would be cool.
Or you could photobomb the filming set.
I could. See if they need extras.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of extras, you can see me in the OA season 2.
Wait,
now.
Really?
I was in an episode.
Really?
Yeah. Thrift store. I remember seeing, I got to see all the stars except for the blonde lady. She wasn't in that episode.
Wait, what's OA?
It's a Netflix sci-fi show sort of astral, they like project or go into alternate dimensions or something that. And
you're in an episode as an extra?
Yeah, I got paid $120.
Wait, were they filming? Were they filming here?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
that's
that.
That's so cool.
Wait, when did they film this?
Yeah. What episode were you in?
I don't know. They just said it was season two. So I actually haven't seen the season two yet. I saw the first season to prepare because I'd never heard of it or seen it before. And I was like, oh, this is a show that a lot of white people really like. I should check it out. And it was actually pretty good. I mean,
I think they have a non-binary character in that show as well, right? Yeah, Ian Alexander.
Asian.
So cool.
Yeah.
Is the actor who plays that character.
Really sort of, a little bit more representation of that.
Yeah. Oh, and another thing I wanted to mention about the cast of the Alita live action was the actor that they got to play Hugo couldn't find out, but he looks to be mixed. So that could be another reason why the movie hasn't gotten as much criticism as Ghost in the Shell, because they cast several POC actors to be in the movie, and the changes were not as intentional as to justify their presence as much as Ghost in the Shell was.
Okay, cool. So you'll fill us in after you watch the live action to compare?
Yeah. Okay. And maybe I'll torture myself and watch Ghost in the Shell.
That's not necessary.
You don't need to do that.
Okay.
We forgive you. We understand. Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that.
Thank you. Cool.
I think Sarah had something really interesting
that
I was kind of excited to talk about, too.
Awesome.
So, is that right if we do that one next?
Sure. Let's go for it. So, today I just wanted to talk about my love and appreciation for Steven Yeun. I love him so much. And I think that... Okay, well, let me just tell you a little bit of his filmography first. So he was...
He's not just Glenn.
No, he did.
I only know him as Glenn.
He was on like seven seasons.
I'm excited to learn more.
He was on like seven seasons of The Walking Dead as Glenn. And then he got pretty brutally killed off from that show. But it did allow him, you know, after he was done with that show, to branch out a lot.
Since then,
he really has. And I've been extremely impressed with the projects that he's chosen. So he was in Okja. He was in this movie called Mayhem. He was in Sorry to Bother You by Boots Riley. Awesome movie.
That's a movie I keep intending on watching.
Please watch it. Yeah. It is my favorite movie from 2018.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
More than Get Out, more than...
Oh, man.
And well,
Get Out was
movies.
The 2016? No. 2017.
The same year?
Yeah, I think it was, because Get Out was just early 2018.
Okay.
So Sorry to Bother You, everybody... Watch that movie.
Really funny.
There's a twist.
I hear it's really funny, and I hear it's really
cracking
good.
Up right now.
You surprised me with that, Sarah. I have the image in my head.
We can't give it away.
No, please don't spoil it.
I will not. But please watch Sorry to Bother You. And then he was also in this really cool Korean film called Burning.
Pretty
so
diverse range.
Good also,
does he speak Korean?
Yeah, he actually does. Mm-hmm. He had to train for a couple of months in order to get the Korean, like, you know, pretty perfect for that movie. And then he was also in an episode of Weird City, which is a Jordan Peele project that's on YouTube. Yes, and he's also going to be in Twilight Zone, which is another Jordan Peele project.
Very cool.
He is in everything cool.
Everything good.
That I want to watch. I swear.
If he
that
shows
Burning
him,
one sounded awesome. I
oh, Burning,
check that out.
Burning was incredible. One of those. It's a very slow burn movie.
Did you
movie.
See that, Matt?
I have not. I've only heard about it recently.
Yeah, it's by Lee Chang-dong, a really well-known South Korean director. The movie was entirely based in Korea, and it was interesting how Steven Yeun actually was able to use his Americanness in the movie. So he wasn't actually Korean American in that movie. He was supposed to be Korean, but sort of the distance that we feel with the character, the sort of worldly, you know, not even really just like sort of like a citizen of the world type of feeling that you could get from that character and the distance.
Okay.
Just like it felt like something was just slightly off with the character, and he was sort of able to draw in his Americanness and that culture that he knows into that role without really it being explicit. So,
oh wow, that's
yeah.
great.
So, oh, you guys, man. Like, I could really talk about his work for probably like a couple of hours or more, but it's just, I don't know,
what is it that you like about the roles that he
picks? Well, so I think he's really special in that. I mean, there have been more Asian actors popping up these days, but I don't think, yeah, which is great. But I don't necessarily think that all of the roles have been as intentional as what he's chosen for himself. In interviews, he's said that he chooses roles that have a message.
Mm.
And he really likes when directors have a specific vision with their work. Yeah. And so he's been, through his roles, able to explore his in-betweenness. Like, for example, in Okja, he, I believe, was in the role of a Korean-American translator. So sort of that diaspora, reflecting on his identities and where he calls home, I can tell that he's really drawing upon that and reflecting upon it in his regular, you know, non-acting life as well.
Okay.
That's great.
And then one other really cool thing about his roles is that I feel like they talk about economic inequality and, like, anti-corporateness a lot, too.
Oh, wow.
Especially...
Yeah.
I've heard that's a big theme of Sorry to Bother You.
Oh, yeah. So it is very explicit in that one because he plays, like, a union organizer. But even in other movies like Mayhem, I think it's this kind of... It's this, like, sort of slasher movie about something happens in, like, this corporate office and they all start, you know, like, killing each other or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Is that, like, Mayhem sounds kind of like the Belko experiment.
I don't know what that is, but, yeah, so that one, too, has themes of that. Burning is really interesting because it's, like, this, like, there's three main characters in the movie. There's this girl and then sort of two, like, kind of potential suitors, and one of them is, like, very rich and the other one is very poor, and so you see that, like, dynamic really working itself out throughout the movie. And so that also has really, like, a lot of economic analysis tied into the movie as well. And Okja is it's a movie about animal rights.
Are there any chihuahuas in it?
I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. I've been meaning to. It's on Netflix.
Oh,
so
it's worth a check out.
Yeah.
Fast forward through the questions. You can find
But yeah, so then Weird City also, which is the one of Jordan Peele's projects that's on YouTube, is about how there's this above the line and below the line. And it's sort of like a kind of like a Black Mirror parody type of a thing. So it talks about technology and then the differences between, you know, the above the line, which is, you know, the rich people, and then below the line, which is the poor. So pretty much in every single one of his works since The Walking Dead, he's been exploring these themes. And I just don't know if he's been properly recognized for that.
Yeah.
I feel like he's such an underrated actor.
If you're listening, please call us for an interview.
Oh, my God. I would pass out. Yeah.
Sarah, we have a special surprise for you.
That would make my entire life. I
Welcome,
think I'd just
Steven.
Be. No.
He's got a supply closet.
No.
He's been in there for a while.
Yeah.
Don't even say that. I'm starting to tear up already thinking about it.
You're like, very hungry. Heart tracing. Yeah. I'd like.
Yeah, I'll be nice to you on April Fool's Day.
Oh, man. Please don't. Don't do that to me.
We will. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But if you're listening, Steven, we know you are.
Yes.
We know
reach
you're
out,
listening.
Get
yeah.
in touch with us. We'd love to have you on the show.
He's a loyal listener. He'll totally come.
Yeah.
Yes, totally. And if Michelle Yeoh is also listening, call me.
He would love to talk about Star Trek.
Oh, we would. And Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. And how great you were in Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah, so I mean, he just has such an insightful perspective. And even in his interviews, too, he said a lot of really great things that I resonate with. For example, he was talking about a post-Crazy Rich Asians world. The interviewer asked, you know, How has that changed his approach to his career? And I have a quote, if I can just read it real quickly.
Yeah, sure.
So he says, all of these big projects that have come out have changed the landscape of how Hollywood might react to an Asian face, but I don't think that mission changes at all. I think, if anything, it just becomes more stark. Let's get to that human part of us. The inherent nature of my face will do a lot of the heavy lifting, because it's not like I'm going to approach a character and be not thinking what an Asian person would be going through in the scenario. Every part of me is Asian. For me to play truthfully is inherently just an Asian performance.
Ooh.
Right?
That's good.
Isn't that great?
Chills.
He's got so many more of those
dropping
incredible
pearls of wisdom.
Wait,
yes.
Was he in Crazy Rich Asians? Okay.
No.
I didn't think so.
I think, yeah. So I think the thing is that he is really intentional with the roles that he plays, and I think more he's been so trying to get to that human aspect that I think he's not gone for, you know, just like a role because he's Asian necessarily.
Yeah, yeah.
But because he
Token casting.
Yeah, like there's something important that he wants to say.
He wants to play a character.
Yeah. And I really respect that, because like he said, he's always gonna be Asian.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that he does is gonna be Asian. So it doesn't even need to be, you know, explicitly about his race.
Yeah.
Especially if it's only, like, he doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to be only about his race.
Mm.
That there's other parts that make up his identity, and he wants to represent that as well. So.
Well, maybe I'll check. We should have an Okja viewing party.
We
Is
should.
Burning also on Netflix?
No. Burning, I know it was playing for a very short time in the States in select theaters. There was,
is that how you saw it?
Yes.
Oh.
There was one theater in Portland that was showing it, and it was for like 3 days. And I said, Mom, we're going.
We gotta go.
Well, I think like foreign movies, it's also... I don't know if it's racism, but it's just really hard to get American audiences to foreign movies.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I had to read subtitles. Ugh.
Yeah. And but you know, I think it was a different experience for me. I haven't seen that many foreign films, but I realized that he was really able to play a role that he might not have been able to play in Hollywood. That maybe you know, Hollywood directors wouldn't think of him to fill as much. And so I think...
Good morning. You are listening to Pacific Underground on KBOO Community Radio. Our show is on hiatus until May, and until then, we are looking for new members to join the collective. Pacific Underground is the only show by and for Asians and Pacific Islanders in the Pacific Northwest. There is no experience necessary to join, just an enthusiasm for API content and stories through the medium of community radio. If you are Asian or Pacific Islander and are interested in joining, please contact us at pacificunderground@kboo.org or message us on Instagram at PACUnderground.
Specifically, like for Asian actors,
mm-hmm.
really lets them
develop
their character and play a much more interesting role a lot of times than what you can find in Hollywood.
Exactly.
Yes.
I was just thinking about Masioka. He was really
Heroes.
Yes. He was really popular a few years ago because of Heroes, and unfortunately cannot remember his friend's name too. But I loved the show Heroes, and it was really great seeing two, not just one, but two Asian actors. they play like actual characters on the show.
Yeah.
And then, unfortunately, the show is canceled, and I...
And then it came back for, like, a short time, didn't it? Didn't they have some sort of... Maybe
they
it was
like,
the
a
same...
reboot. Just
yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah.
Like,
it didn't work out.
Yeah, I think it was terrible.
Oh, because I love the first season of Heroes.
Yeah, everyone
the
likes
first
season
was so good. Yes.
Yeah, after that's
I've never seen it.
I have the first two seasons on DVD. We should watch.
Well, but, you'll be oh god, a that is soon,
this is
so.
Making me think of the problematic aspect of season two, where they had a white guy playing a Japanese samurai. But we won't get into that right now. We don't have time for that.
No, but about the Asian actors going to Asia and then coming back here to Hollywood to have the freedom that they wouldn't either. You know, before. I mean, it seems like that's a pretty sort of well-worn path, because like it's hard to break in and get those roles like Steven Yeun has been able to do now, you know. Walking Dead was a pretty one in the million kind of chance, but like people like Bruce Lee or gosh, what's his name, he was something Wong, he was in Romeo Must Die as the bad guy.
Oh,
I have no idea.
It's before your time.
I always thought it was Jet Li that was in Romeo. I always thought it was Jet Li that was in Romeo Must Die.
Yeah, he was the good guy, but the bad guy was this like Russell Wong. Yeah, he was a biracial, like half Asian, half Chinese, half white guy.
Oh, cool.
And like, very sharp, you know, defined features, good looking guy, good actor, but he couldn't make it, you know, in Hollywood, so he went to be this Asian film, Asian star, and then came back and got, he didn't really become a Hollywood star, but he got more roles, so.
He got work.
He is also, I just happened to look him up on my phone, and he is quite the handsome Asian man.
He is.
Flash a picture on the radio real quick.
That's right. Yeah. No, many of my Asian femme friends had crushed on Russell Wong.
Well, maybe I should. I have not heard of him. I had not heard of him before, but I'm happy to have found out about him today.
Yeah, we need to have a Romeo Must Die viewing party.
Maybe
representation.
Yeah,
even though they never make out, which
we
can talk about that, Aaliyah. What happened?
Yeah.
Anyways.
Had a chance to make it with Jet Li and you didn't take it?
It's the white casting and directors and producers.
But what did you bring to share with us?
So yeah, I brought, I wanted to talk about this actress that was in Crazy Rich Asians, Gemma Chan.
Oh,
who, was also in Captain Marvel, apparently. She plays an alien.
She was? Oh.
And apparently it was pretty good. I haven't seen it. My sister saw it, said she liked it. But she was recently cast as some white duchess in Mary, Queen of Scots.
Oh.
And it was like a big supporting role. And maybe they changed the character to be Asian. Mm. Maybe she's playing a white lady. I don't know, but
is this a movie of Mary Queen?
It's a movie about Mary Queen of Scots.
Oh, okay.
And apparently a lot of people are very triggered by it and upset. And so I just wanted to read. I don't really have a lot to talk about this, unfortunately, but I wanted to read a quote that she had that I really liked about some of the comparing it to whitewashing, like Scarlett Johansson or something like that. White people saying, oh, it's the same.
Uh-huh.
And so her response is, why are actors of color who have fewer opportunities anyway only allowed to play their own race? And sometimes they're not even allowed to play their own race, she said. In the past, the role would be given to a white actor who would tape up their eyes and do the role in yellow face.
Yeah.
John Wayne played Genghis Khan. If John Wayne can play Genghis Khan, I can play Bess of Hardwick. So apparently Bess of Hardwick is the character she plays.
Yes.
I have no idea who that is, but apparently she's a badass.
I might check out who that is. But yeah, I'm also a fan of Gemma Chan. I first became familiar with her from the BBC show Sherlock.
Oh, right.
And there is this one like really problematic episode about that's all sorts of Orientalism, which I think is season one, episode two. There's like this Chinese circus, and oh, it's so cringe. But I do remember Gemma Chan because I don't know. I just thought she was so pretty and elegant.
She's beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And I was so happy when she popped up in Crazy Rich Asians because, like, oh, you! 'Cause I didn't recognize her face, but I do recognize her voice, because, oh God, I feel terrible for exoticizing British accents, but I do like a British accent, and the fact that she's this beautiful Asian woman that speaks with a British accent, it's like,
Let's unpack this step.
I'm so sorry.
So, Anglophile is like, they're the whitest of the whites. I just can't even say
the accent is just very authoritative. So.
And it makes you trust them more, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A British person can say anything and you take it as true.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all sort of ingrained for that as colonials, as they say.
Yeah.
I do it too.
Maybe I need to decolonize my fetishes.
France Fanon is spinning in his grave right now.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Well, not the classical reference.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Post-colonial. Post-colonial memes for oriental-minded teens.
There you go. There you go. Spicy indeed.
Yeah. But that's really cool that she's being cast. I at first thought maybe she was cast as Mary Queen of Scots. Like, wow, that's...
I did too, and I had to look that up. Like, oh, that's okay. Less cool, but still pretty neat.
Yeah. I'm also kind of curious if they'll somehow justify her presence in, like, the British court. Ooh.
It could be really cringy. There was a shoehorned Chinese character who was this Chinese princess in, like, the... Vikings TV show that lasted for a season. She was like somebody had captured her boat and the Vikings rescued her, and it was just this like, why would she be in water close to you guys anyways if she's like some princess? It was weird.
Yeah,
it didn't make any
sense.
There's
a lot of ways that could go wrong.
There are all sorts of cringe things that Hollywood does to shoehorn POC people in period movies. Though I also I love history. I studied art history, and there were so many POC people that were in Europe. They don't need to be shoehorned in.
Yeah, like they have a right to be there.
Yeah. I don't need to justify
Chinese
my experience.
They discovered Chinese skeletons from like the Roman ruins of like Roman Paris or something like that.
Oh wow!
From like way back. Yeah.
Yeah. And plus, there was so much trade with Turkey and the Middle East that was happening. So.
Yeah, I think one problem is that history itself has been whitewashed, right? Mm-hmm. So we look at these movies and we say, wait a second.
What are you doing here?
Like, they're not supposed to be there. They don't belong there. But when you look back at history, you realize, wow, they actually they were there.
They were there.
Yeah, old paintings, like you're saying.
Even like today in the media and movies, when you have like any sort of culture being represented that's not American, they always default to a British accent. Like sci-fi, fantasy, everything. It's always a British accent.
Yeah.
What did you bring to share with us, Matt?
So I kind of wanted to do something a little different. I wanted to talk about movies that haven't been released yet. And I generally wanted to talk about maybe like overarching
the live action
theme.
Akira and how Taika Waititi was.
I'm ready for that expanding head. Totally. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of that same vein. I've been kind of looking around at the different movies that are coming out. One that sparked my interest is this new Marvel movie that's coming out. It's called Shang-Chi. And this is about a martial artist, of course, because that's what we always do, right? And the main character is Asian, of course. And the actor they are getting to, they're thinking of casting for the lead role, is a guy named Mike Mo. Interesting thing, he was born in Atlanta, Georgia, American-born. And he's also going to be playing Bruce Lee in the upcoming Tarantino film, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
So, is that like a biopic of Bruce Lee?
No, I think it's about another stuntman who did work with Bruce Lee at one point.
Okay.
Not quite familiar with it. So
is it maybe about the fight that that Bruce Lee was supposedly in?
Oh, you mean the showdown or the match? No, that's a different thing. Brad Pitt is the main character in here. Like, so Bruce Lee is kind of like a cameo, sort of, like a scene thing.
Okay.
Maybe a prop. Maybe he's going to use his prop, who knows?
Wait, Matt Damon's in it?
I think he is. I know Brad Pitt.
He's everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Man, why is Matt Damon in all these Asian movies?
Yeah, Great
or
Wall,
Asian
right?
Story. Great Wall. Yeah. I mean, I saw
That's
Great
all
Wall.
All I need to say.
Yeah, I saw Great Wall, and you can listen to one of our past episodes, the episode where I talk about it, if you want to hear my real opinions on that movie. What other movies are coming out?
This is actually a question I was thinking about when I was doing research for this show, is what qualifies you as an Asian actor? One of my favorite actors is Keanu Reeves, but a lot of people don't really think of him as Asian necessarily.
He's a quarter Chinese.
Something like that.
Yeah. Filipino.
Filipino, okay.
Yeah, a quarter Filipino.
Yeah. You know, he has a, what is that? That one, the action movie with the guns.
Matrix?
No, not Matrix. I'm really specific here.
Wait, I think I know.
John Wick, Chapter 3.
Equilibrium? No, okay.
John Wick.
I'm so excited for John Wick.
Oh, you're a big fan of the John Wick series?
I'm actually a big fan of John Wick.
I love John Wick.
I heard Keanu's actually like a really nice person.
I know.
No, he's amazing. No, he's one of the few people that no one hates.
I'm a huge fan of Keanu Reeves because, I've heard that he's like such a sweetheart to meet. He's really friendly. It's like, yay!
You know, he donated all of the earnings he made from The Matrix to the crew that produced The Matrix. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Keanu, if you want to call us for an interview.
Yeah, come on down. Bring Steven with you.
Yeah, oh my God, Keanu and Steven, that'd be amazing.
I know. But you're right. He is definitely an actor that I usually do not think of as Asian. I mean, maybe he sort of separated himself from his Asian identity for Hollywood reasons, to get himself cast more. I mean, his reasons are his own reasons for why he has done and made certain career choices.
Has he done any interviews about that or talked about it at all?
I unfortunately don't know.
There have been few. I mean, he's talked about his upbringing and but honestly, if there are very few interviews where they talk about that with him. So
but it could be once again that people don't really acknowledge or to think of. It's like, you're part Asian. So maybe people don't ask him about that.
But would we claim him if we could? Do we claim him? Do we?
I would like to claim him in more ways than once.
Oh, okay.
No,
okay. Hey-o.
Okay. Sorry. Back on topic.
John Wick Chapter 3 is coming out. I'm very excited about that.
I'm so excited. Do you want to see it together?
Yeah, you know what? Let's do a John Wick Chapter 3 viewing party. Let's do that.
Do we have to watch Chapter 1 and 2 before that?
I mean...
Good morning. You are listening to Pacific Underground on KBOO Community Radio. Our show is on hiatus until May, and until then, we are looking for new members to join the collective. Pacific Underground is the only show by and for Asians and Pacific Islanders in the Pacific Northwest. There is no experience necessary to join, just an enthusiasm for API content and stories through the medium of community radio. If you are Asian or Pacific Islander and are interested in joining, please contact us at pacificunderground@kboo.org or message us on Instagram at @PACUnderground.
They're not related.
Okay. Well,
maybe
at least
they are, but you don't need to.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
they can be summarized in one sentence.
Yeah. Keanu Reeves killed
for
a
the
bunch
story.
Of guys.
Sweet. You don't watch it for the story.
Yeah, this is true. I don't really watch the John Wick movies for the story.
Really?
They're amazing action scenes in it. And they were directed by a former current stuntman, but they were directed by a stunt person. And so when I found that, I was like, that makes sense why the action scenes are so cool.
Yeah. The choreography is just ballet of death.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, they have super cuts on YouTube that have like John Wick kill counts or whatever.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
So you guys could just watch that to catch up.
Just like
up,
overlaying
really.
It. It's like a fast-forwarded version.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Mm-hmm.
And you usually don't think of, I guess, Asian actors as being like an unstoppable killing machine.
Unless it's a kung fu film.
This is true. And And as we spoke to earlier, how can you get foreign movies brought to America and get American audiences to go see those foreign movies?
Yeah.
But yeah, what are your thoughts on Akira, on the live action Akira?
I'll be honest with you, I haven't read Akira in a long time or watched the anime. Mm. But yeah, I mean, what do you think about it?
So I did hear about Warner Brothers getting the license to the live action Akira like 10 years ago, just like James Cameron been sitting on the rights to Alita for a while. Warner Brothers has also been sitting on the rights for Akira for a while. And this is how I've also evolved in my social awareness and my social justice, because back then I thought, like, wow, that's really cool. I'd love to see a live-action version of Akira. But over the years, as I've learned more about whitewashing and representation, I'm like, ooh, Akira better be good. After watching Battle Angel Alita, it did make me want to rewatch Akira because they're both cyberpunk movies, and I remember why I love cyberpunk. And thinking about Akira has made me remember how much I've always really wanted to buy like the red leather jacket that Kaneda wears. So I felt really ambivalent about Akira, but then I heard Taika Waititi is directing it, and that
Taika Waititi is awesome.
Yes. And he has said that he wants to cast, I don't know if he said exclusively Japanese people or at least Asian people. Yeah. But it's like, yay!
Taika Waititi just, like, resuscitated the whole Thor.
Yeah, the Thor Ragnarok. Yeah. I have not seen Thor Ragnarok, but I heard it's really
great.
Good.
The best.
Yeah,
they're so
really good. My kind of concern, though, with Taika Waititi, he's known mainly for comedy, and Akira's not a comedy. So, I mean, if he could put a little bit of light-hearted humor in it, I'd be fine with that, but I'm kind of hoping Akira isn't just a straight-up comedy. But, I mean, if you look at the career of Jordan Peele, who started out in comedy and just making these amazing horror movies, I hear Us is really good, and I just don't want to see Us.
I think Taika Waititi has...
I think
he has the range.
Yeah, I feel pretty confident with Taika Waititi at the head.
And
if he does cast like mostly Asian actors, or like, I would love to have like POC actors. There can be a couple of token white actors in there if Hollywood must, but like a cast of mostly Asian actors and POC actors, like, yay! And they stay faithful to the source material. Yeah, like, yes, shut up, take my money. I'll be there on premiere day. Better make the motorcycle look awesome.
You know, one movie that I saw recently that just came to my mind. And actually, I'm a huge fan of this series. If anyone knows me, Dragon Ball. Are you guys familiar with that? So, I one of the reasons I want to talk about it is because
Dragon Ball Evolution.
Oh God, yeah, with Justin Chapman, whatever the hell his name is.
Speaking of whitewashing,
oh my God,
and bad Hollywood adaptations of anime.
Mm-hmm. But one thing I want to talk about is that new movie that came out recently,
Dragon Ball. Brawly?
Yeah. Have any of you guys seen that?
I have not. I want to because I named my chihuahua, one of my chihuahuas after Brawly.
What is it about?
For anyone who's not familiar with the Dragon Ball series, I'll just do a TLDR here.
Yeah,
okay.
Also me.
So the Dragon Ball series, I think it came out around 1982 Akira Toriyama.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually based off this Chinese folktale called, I believe, CUG or Journey to the West.
Journey to the West,
yeah.
About the monkey god
king. Yeah, the monkey king.
Goku. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Sun Wukong, I think, was the character's name. And so basically it's a martial arts series. It goes when Goku's a kid all the way until he's an adult. And it gets kind of weird in Z because then they start fighting aliens instead of martial artists.
Oh, wow.
And they're blowing up planets and stuff.
Yeah.
And so.
It was.
Interesting.
The key phrase inspired by is very important.
Yeah.
They take it a whole other
way.
They do.
Like, the first. I haven't seen any of the Dragon Ball. I've seen episodes of Dragon Ball Z, some of GT.
GT's not canon.
That's what
I'm saying that now.
That's what I hear. And I have the first DVD collection of Dragon Ball Kai. Or is it Dragon Ball Z Kai?
It's Z Kai, I believe.
Okay.
Oh, no, it was
okay.
Z Kai at first, and then they changed it to Kai for the Buu saga.
Okay, okay.
For some reason.
I cannot keep up with all these changes to the Dragon Ball series. But I do like the Journey to the West inspiration, but Akira Toriyama then takes it in a whole different direction.
Well, where else could you go? Well, the first Dragon Ball series was so long and prolific, and he took it even further in Z. I think there were, 200-something episodes?
Yes.
I mean, it's a series that's been going on for the longest time, since the 80s.
Yeah.
And recently had a resurgence with Super and the movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if you look at where its audience is coming from, you have a lot of people in South America.
Worldwide.
Yeah. I mean, it's huge. I mean, there's a religion out there.
There is.
It's called Gokuism. It's pretty
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You're messing with me.
For real.
That's for real.
That's wow.
Oh, yeah. It's really real.
I mean, if dudeism is a religion, Gokuism could be a religion.
Okay.
Yeah.
But speaking of Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Evolution, that isn't the Last Airbender. It is another one of those morbid curiosity movies to examine this exquisite corpse.
Exquisite corpse.
Getting all poetic.
Wow. This is the winter of our discontent.
Yes.
That's how I would describe Justin Chatwin's performance.
It is very much discontent.
Oh, yes. Discontent all around.
God. All around.
Oh, God. Yeah.
It's so good.
Speaking of animes being turned into live action, did you guys see that those trailers for Detective Pikachu with
I have
Ryan
not.
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
He's the voice of Pikachu.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds.
It's so strange. You know,
Wait. Sorry. Does Pikachu talk?
Yes.
Yeah, but only to one person. No one else can understand.
He doesn't go Pikachu. Oh,
well, because apparently Detective Pikachu is supposed to be a different character than
Pikachu that Ash carries
around or whatever. It's super strange because I just know Ryan Reynolds' voice so well, and every time I've seen a trailer, every single second that he's spoken, I'm like, that's Ryan Reynolds. So I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see it because it sounds interesting, but yeah, I mean, I'm curious to see how it turns out.
Yeah, I have not seen the trailers. I've certainly heard lots of people talk about it, but I'm not the biggest Pokemon fan. It's not that I hate Pokemon. No, I think it's cute, but I feel like maybe it's just not my thing.
That's fine, you know.
So I haven't checked out the trailer. But yeah, a lot of my friends were talking about it, but I did not hear that Ryan Reynolds was voicing Pikachu, and
do you guys consider that whitewashing Ryan Reynolds as Pikachu? Because they could have cast Ken Watanabe or something, you know, right?
He is an animal.
That's a different type of Pikachu, though. He could be a really burly sort of Pikachu.
Yeah.
But it's not racialized.
I don't think it's racialized. I didn't really think about that or have that much of an issue with it, especially I mean, Detective Pikachu, was it a thing before this? There's so many iterations
of all the Pokemon.
I mean, I don't
know. I never got into it.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, you know?
Yeah.
It's Magic the Gathering for Asian kids.
Yes. And hey, Pokemon's Go is getting people out there and losing weight and being healthy.
And causing traffic accidents.
Sorry.
Falling off cliffs and stuff, too. It was an interesting time.
Yeah.
That one summer where Pokemon Go was just the biggest
super
thing.
Big. Yeah.
A weird time.
Yeah.
For sure.
I play the original Pokemon Go. It was called Ingress.
Oh, look at you.
That's just me being hipster, all hipster nerdy.
You played it before it was cool.
I played it before it was cool. Well, thank you all for joining me and just chilling out talking about our favorite medias, even if it was problematic favorite.
I could talk about Steven Yeun all day. Maybe I'll just have to do like an entire
Steven Yeun dedication tribute episode.
Let's play clips from his different interviews and talk about how awesome man. He is.
A new segment just Steven Yeun time.
We'll just pretend like he's in the studio with us.
And then he'll be like waiting on the other side of the door. Sarah, we have a special guest for you to meet.
That would make my life.
Thank you for listening to Pacific Underground. Thank you to KBOO for the time and space. And you can check us out on Facebook and Instagram. Later.
See you later. Thank you for listening to Pacific Underground on KBOO Community Radio. Just a reminder that our show is on hiatus until May, and until then, we are looking for new members to join the collective. Pacific Underground is the only show by and for Asians and Pacific Islanders in the Pacific Northwest. There is no experience necessary to join, just an enthusiasm for API content and stories through the medium of community radio. If you are Asian or Pacific Islander and are interested in joining, please contact us at pacificunderground@kboo.org or just message us on Instagram at @PACUnderground.
This is KBOO Portland. We're creeping up on the 12 o'clock hour, at which time we get moving on with your host, the one and only, the inimitable, and just what a gal, Lori Sonnenfeld. We're going to warm you up a little with a pair of fellas who did a lot to introduce me personally to the roots folk Americana, Messieurs Garcia et Grisman. Live at the Warfield Theater in 1991. Just check it out.
From Reno, I was trailed by 20 hounds. Didn't get to sleep.